Hello, friends. Melanie here to welcome you to Psalm 17, a prayer of David. This prayer for justice arises out of David's deep longing for the Lord to come and put the world right. Before we start, let's situate this psalm in its literary context for a moment. In Psalm 14, David has prayed for God to send his Yeshua, his salvation, to come out of Zion. In Psalm 15, he has prayed for a blameless human being who will be able to dwell with God on his holy mountain. And in Psalm 16, David has found refuge in the Lord's promised Davidic son, the one we met in Psalm 2, so that somehow, in him, David can know the path through death into life in God's presence. The Psalms really are quite amazing. So now, let's join David in Psalm 17 as he lifts his earnest prayer for justice to the Lord. Verse 1. Hear me, Lord. My plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Did you catch David's intense petition right from the start of his prayer? 3 times he appeals to the Lord to hear and listen to his prayer. With shameless audacity, confident in both the mercy and justice of Yahweh, David appeals to the Lord to look at his situation and to see what needs to be done to make things right. Verse 3. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people tried to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent through what your lips have commanded. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. This is amazing. David is making some pretty bold claims about his commitment to walking in God's ways. 4 times, David tells God that I've planned no evil, my mouth has not transgressed, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent, my steps have held to your paths. What's going on here? Is David praying arrogantly like the Pharisee in the Luke 18 parable, where Jesus commends the humble tax collector's prayer versus the self-righteous prayer of the Pharisee? Knowing David's life story, I used to really struggle with David's prayers in Psalms like these. That's where I found reading the Psalms in sequence really helps. Remember, in Psalm 6, we heard David cry out to God for mercy because of his own sin, and then listen to him receive rescue from the Lord. In Psalm 14, David himself acknowledged that there is no one who does what is right, nor seeks God. So what does David's prayer here reveal? David is showing us how to trust the Lord's character and lean into him, taking God at his word. Throughout these Psalms, we see David quickly and deeply receive Yahweh's forgiveness when he stumbles and sins. David doesn't wallow in guilt and shame, but instead, he turns around, makes the necessary changes, and gets back to walking with God and learning to do what is right. David makes it clear that, like Psalm 1 teaches, he has committed himself not to walk in the counsel of the wicked, but to delight himself in the Lord's instruction. David is pursuing the Lord's promised blessing of life and is determined, even when he messes up, to commit again to hear and obey God's commands. Listen as David leans into the Lord and prays with confident expectation. Verse 6. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. I love this. David is not afraid to pray God's promises and hold God to his word. Yahweh has revealed himself to Moses as the God who keeps steadfast love to those who love him. So David boldly prays for the Lord to show that steadfast love to him, right here, right now, in the middle of the unjust situation he's facing. Listen as David describes his desperate circumstances. Verse 8. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. Listen, as David describes his desperate circumstances. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts and their mouths speak with arrogance. They've tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. What incredibly descriptive language. David feels like a hunted man, tracked down by the wicked who encircle him, lurking in ambush, ready to pounce and devour. It's not hard to imagine David praying this during his wilderness years, when Saul and his armies were hunting for him. Nor late in his reign, when his son Absalom hunted for David to kill him and steal the throne. But what about us? Our enemies can appear in many shapes and sizes. Some of you may need rescue from genuinely evil people who are pursuing your life for their own gain. For others, our enemies are more subtle, like ubiquitous cultural spokesmen who lure our children and our friends away from the path of life with false promises of drugs, sex without consequences, and an easy life. Even things like sickness, temptation, economic hardship, family challenges, anxiety and depression can be enemies that surround us and threaten to swallow us whole. But David's prayer is changing the way I pray. Listen to David's commanding, almost impertinent prayer in verse 13. Rise up, Lord, confront them, bring them down. With your sword, rescue me from the wicked. By your hand, save me from such people, Lord, from those of this world whose reward is in this life. The wicked don't understand that this age will come to an end, but God himself will come as king and put his world right. But for the wicked, their only hope is in this world and what they can take for themselves. Verse 14. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it, and may there be leftovers for their little ones. David is not concerned here about being polite, nor does he confuse unjust circumstances in his life for the will of God. Instead, he prays boldly for justice against his adversaries, just like Jesus taught his disciples to pray. God will repay with evil all who do evil, bringing their own evil ways down upon their own heads. Verse 15, as for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. David is confident. The Lord will answer his prayers and vindicate him, showing the world that he has walked in the Lord's path of life. He will awake, not just the next day, but eventually from death, through resurrection, to see the Lord's Messiah face to face. As I close this psalm, I can hear one of my favorite Easter songs, Graves into Gardens, playing in the background. And I'm certain David is singing along. Lord, there's nothing better than you. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. So as you read Psalm 17, let David's prayer challenge you to shamelessly audacious prayer, for God to come and deal with this world's enemies, to vindicate his people, and to put his world right.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.